It's a Boo Vasquez kind of morning, sunshine and 48 degrees.
Well, let's get Bull on the horn to
talk about Boo
and all of the things with the Lake Erie Crushers.
Who's Boo?
We'll find out in a minute. Right. Andy, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Okay, please come home. Can you please come home?
I guess there's good news and bad news to what's gone on the last week or so on this road trip. The bad news, obviously, is that they've lost 4 in a row and they're 1-4 on the road trip. But the good news is they're undefeated at home at 8-0. And after tonight, they come back home for a 9-game homestand. So that's the good news. Hopefully they can finish up on the road with a win tonight and then they can enjoy some home cooking starting tomorrow night.
Well, we all like to be home, and the home all what? What are you laughing about?
I'm sorry. We talk about the home games, and these teams always do something fun and interesting for the kids and the crowd. And I see on Sunday, there's going to be a wild time on the field.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
I didn't want to get to that now, but you brought
it up. I know. I just saw it. It triggered a response.
Bull,
I apologize.
What are you getting Stomper for his birthday? Have you thought about this?
I think he listens to the morning show. I can't really tell you guys what I got him because it's supposed to be a surprise on Sunday.
Okay,
but the big fella has not exactly dropped weight over the last few years, so he's got a sweet tooth. So I think he's going to get something pretty sweet on Sunday.
Yeah, go ahead, Craig. Read what it says here from the Crushers release.
They will celebrate in style by dropping 200 pounds of candy onto the field from a hot air balloon, all courtesy of Be a Sweetie Candy Company. Kids 12 and under can grab what they can. Now, that's a free-for-all right there.
Now, the kids are not going to stand there and I assume they run out after it's dropped.
That's what I think.
I mean, otherwise you're going to get a Les Nessman kind of a thing here if you're going to try to drop this, but...
What fun. That sounds like really cool time for the kids.
Yeah, the grounds crew, not so much, but the kids. But let's get back to the game. Boo Vasquez, Craig's having fun with his name. What can he tell us about that gentleman?
Well, I'll tell you what, he was a lot of fun for me on the air last year. I had all kinds of fun with that name on the air a year ago, and I thought he was going to be a crusher at the beginning of this season. He came into spring camp, and he was wearing his red and black. He was going to be a crusher, and then all of a sudden, Mons decided to pull the trigger on a trade and send him to Joliet maybe 2 weeks before the regular season started. So I was kind of surprised to see that myself because Boo Vasquez is a heck of a player. I mean, you know, obviously he homered twice yesterday, and he's got the ability to go deep. And last year, you know, that's a year that I think a lot of crusher fans are trying to forget, but when they signed Boo Vasquez in the second half last year, he provided quite a bit of pop in the middle of the lineup. And, I mean, I thought for sure he was going to be on that team this year. But, I think Mons just wanted to make a move, and he sent him to Joliet. And, you know, the Slammers so far are reaping the benefits because Boo's had a pretty nice start to the season. He played collegiately at Pitt, and there were a lot of folks who thought that he was going to go in the Major League Baseball draft, but it just didn't work out. And, you know, for Vasquez, he's had a heck of a series against the forward team so far, and they're going to go for the sweep tonight.
Now, you said Mods likes to use a lot of pitchers. Last night, not so many. Does it vary? I guess you just have to see how the game's played out, I suppose, right?
Yeah, Mons is what you call a field guy. You know, there are a lot of guys that go strictly by the book, and that's not Mons. That's just not his M.O. He doesn't know what that baseball book is, per se. He takes the book, and he pretty much throws it away, which is interesting because he's really not predictable at all. I mean, there are a lot of managers out there who go strictly by the book. They're very, very predictable. You can pretty much tell what they're going to do in every single situation, but that's not Mons. Mons will go with his gut instinct, and there have been times where, you know, Mons has been put in a position where he's had a starting pitcher that pitched 2 days prior, and if he's got a pretty good feeling that he's going to be able to come in and get the last out of the game, he doesn't hesitate to call down the bullpen and bring that guy in 2 days after he's thrown somewhere in the area of 100 pitches just because that's the guy he feels like can get the batter out. He's done that a handful of times this year, but there are guys who I thought were going to start the next day, and then the next thing you know, I see these guys warming up in the bullpen, and then, you know, Mons, if he needs a big out, he's not afraid to call on that guy to come in and get that big out. So, like I say, he's one of those guys that will, like I say, you just can't predict what he's going to do next, and that's what makes him so interesting.
Well, that also kind of just keeps the other team on their toes, as it were. If they know what his routine is, they can kind of counter. But if he's, as you say, go by feel, it kind of just plays itself out as each game unfolds.
Exactly. He's a couple of times used a guy that's primarily been a relief pitcher in the Frontier League for the last 4 years, Mike Devine. He's used him as a position player twice. He started him at third base earlier this year. He started him in left field on a game earlier this road trip. And then after he started the game in left field, he brought him on to pitch in the eighth inning. So he's very unconventional, but you're right. As an opposing manager, it makes it very, very tough to decide what your next move is going to be if you don't necessarily know what Bonds' next move is going to be. Yeah,
and all the players on the bench have to be ready to jump off the pine and get into the game, pretty much, too.
That's right. And he, as you said earlier, I mean, typically he goes down to that bullpen quite a bit. So it is all hands on deck down in that bullpen if you're pitching for Monge.
Well, speaking of going by feel, when you're calling a game, are you going? How does that work for you? And where did the men of Crush come from? Was that from you, or is that from the Crushers, or where did that sort of phrase come from?
Yes, it's kind of a collective effort. So for me, I had first heard it from our buddy Evan Meyer. And, you know, I kind of thought it just stuck. It sounded pretty cool, so I started using it. And that hashtag has kind of been one of those deals where it sort of stuck. So I want to say it was about 3 years ago. Yeah, I think they had used the hashtag Crusher Time, and it was okay, but I didn't think it sounded as cool as Men of Crush. So I kind of put it out there to some of the listeners, you know, what do you think? Are you more a Crusher Time fan, or are you a bigger fan of Men of Crush? And it wasn't even close. I mean, the response I got, they were all over the Men of Crush. And, I mean, that hashtag just kind of took off, started trending, and I thought, okay, well, there's no contest here. And for me, I just think it sounds better. I mean, you guys know how it is. Sometimes you write something down on paper, it looks cool, and then you say it, and it just doesn't sound as cool. But then for this, I don't know. Like I say, when I first heard it, I thought, man, that sounds pretty good. And then I started using it in the broadcast a little bit, and I thought, okay, this sounds a lot better than Crusher Time. I'm not sure how it translates to Twitter and, you know, other aspects of social media, but it just felt better and it sounded better when I said it. So it's just, like I say, over the last couple of years, it just kind of stuck.
So, yeah, to me it has sort of like a little bit of a superhero feel to it, or sort of like a comic book or a movie title. It just has a good rhythm to it, the Men of Crush. And, well, they will be coming back to All-Pro Freight Stadium, where they have yet to lose this season against the Washington Wild Things. For the first part of the series, we'll have the game on Saturday evening at 7 o'clock. You'll be doing the call on that game on WEOL and AM 930 and also WEOL.com. And then the league-leading, is it the Thunderbolts that are coming in next week then as well?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's Windy City next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That's obviously a huge series because those guys are playing really, really well right now. Although the Crushers did take a series from them a couple weeks ago, and then after those guys leave town, the Traverse City Beach Bums will come to town next weekend, and they swept Lake Erie on the road about a week and a half ago. So those are two really big series, all part of a 9-game homestand.
And, of course, we invite all the folks to come on out. The weather's going to be pretty nice as we get into June baseball at All-Pro Freight Stadium in Avon. Our guest this morning, as always, on Thursday, we get a chance to find out what's happening with the Crushers from Andy Bulbarge. Andy, we'll talk again next week. Have a good week for you.
Thank you, guys. You too.